So I'm really glad to be here this morning. It was some years, quite a number of years, since I've been in Canada last time. But I have a trip to plan the trip to the States, and I decided to come and to see my aunt who lives here in Brantford. And of course, when I told them that I'm coming, my cousin from Florida also, they came here. So we had a kind of reunion, being together for a couple of days. And I really enjoy our time. After many years also not seeing my aunt, I really enjoy our time together, fellowship, and just for this short time. And when Pastor Antoni heard that I'm coming, he said, "You must come to our church and speak." So it's a privilege for me to share with you. And really, my message today, what I want to share is kind of directed to, especially to young people, since I know that the young people will be here, and this worship group, it's young people, so I really enjoy to see you worshiping God. And you know, this last song that we sang, you know, this is the song that really we welcome the presence of God. You know, the welcome Holy Spirit, we welcome you to come. And we just share your presence. Your presence is something that we value. And the question is, you know, sometimes we sing the songs, but the question is if we mean it. If really what we sing, we can stand before. If really this song that we sing, such a song, when we sing, is out of this heart desire? This is the very, very important question. If we sing out of our desire, because presence of God, the presence of God is something that is absolutely necessary for our life, not only for our meetings, but for our whole life. The presence of God changes everything. And you know, the presence of God is not something how we feel. The presence of God is something what we experience. We sometimes we think that when we feel good, okay, the Holy Spirit is here, we have a presence of God. I think, really saying this, it has nothing to do with how you feel. It has to do what God is doing. And whenever the God's presence is, whenever we are in the presence of God, there is a time of change. There is a time of change. And I believe that God wants to continually to change our lives. Continue to change. And like the Bible says, from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from grace to grace, growing. But there is a starting point. There is a starting point somewhere for every one of us. And today I would like to share also with the message, I would like to share some of my story. Because I had the privilege to meet Jesus, or I can say Jesus met me when I was very young. I was 13 years old when Jesus met me. And I grew up in the Christian family, so I grew up in the home, Christian home. I grew up in the church, and I had privilege to be brought up in the godly way. And you know, when I was very young, I thought that everything is okay with me. I don't need anything more, because I was coming with my parents to the church meetings. I was even involved in some ministry, because I was in the music. In school, so I play violin at the beginning. So my father, who was a director, a music director in the church, he would involve everybody who could play something to play, to be involved. So I thought that everything is okay with me. But one day, it was a time when our youth group had a kind of small revival in our church. And they were meeting very regularly, often, just for prayer. And after one church meeting, it was in the middle of the week, they were supposed to meet. I was not part of this group, because at that time youth begins from the age of 18. I was 13, so I wasn't really considered as a group of being in the group of youth. And then one brother came to me after the meeting, and just passing me, stopped and he said, "Listen, maybe you would stay this today. Maybe you would stay in this prayer meeting, that young people meeting, youth meeting. Maybe," and he said, "maybe God has something for you." You know, when he said this, I felt like a power came through my body. I started to tremble, because then I knew God, something is coming. Something is coming. And really, when the prayer started, when we started this prayer, Jesus came to me very, very clearly. I felt like I'm a sinner that needs Jesus, needs His grace. So I really confessed my sins. I committed my life to Jesus, and this was a turning point. One of the things that I really value was that I grew up also in the Word of God. I was in the Sunday school when my aunt was a teacher, and she really invested the Word of God in us. So I had this privilege to learn many, many scriptures by heart. And I believe this is the best investment we can have. When the Word of God is placed in us, when we can learn the Word of God, because the Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit will come, He will remind you and He will teach you the things I have spoken to you. What does it mean? The Holy Spirit can really work in our lives on the base what is inside of us. The Holy Spirit needs time of base to work in us. Because if Jesus said Holy Spirit will remember you, what He can remind you if there is nothing inside of you? He can only remind you something what you already have. So this was really something very valuable, because I remember that about the age of 15, I knew that I not need to just to have to read the Bible and learn the Bible, but I really love to read the Bible. I love to spend time with the scripture. And one of the scriptures that at this very beginning of my life, of my relationship with Jesus, there was a scripture also from the Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. And it says that, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. This was very strong word. I knew that this word is a prophetic word to my life. But still, I asked the question, because like when I read this, I say, okay, it looks like God says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth, because there will come time in your future where you will not find of pleasure. This is what it says. But I knew some other scriptures already, and I know that another scripture said that people, even in old age, they are still fresh. They are still can bring fruit. So it was for me, it was like a contradiction. There will be time when you be older, the time will be, I don't find pleasure in this anymore. So I asked God, I asked many questions to God. I like to ask questions. I said, Lord, what does it mean? What this scripture means? It means that I can use my youth, because there is time coming when everything will be different. And this is what He said to me. By this scripture, remember your Creator in the day of your youth. It's this scripture means that today, in those days where you are young, you build your future. You build your elderly time. So what you invest in your, if your young age, you will reap in your when you will be old. And I received this scripture. I receive it as a word for my life. And I can tell you that I can say today that God is faithful. God is faithful. Last December I turned 70, and now I say this, that the life begins after 70. In this year we moved to a new house. It's one thing, and also I started to ride a motorcycle. So God is faithful. If we invest we invest in the right time, invest in our life, we will see the fruit of this. Because God is faithful, His word is faithful. So now, and especially I want to say to these two young people, this word, remember your Creator in the day of your youth. It is so crucial, it is so important. And what does it mean, remember your Creator? I remember from those days that God was in my heart, in my mind all the time. I knew wherever I go, whatever I do, I did, I knew that God is seeing me. My Creator is seeing me in every situation. So whenever I was do something wrong, I feel bad about it. I had to come and I have to repent, because I remembered Him. I had Him in my mind and in my heart. So remember God helps you to know God, and we all need to know God. We are in the process of knowing Him, but we have to have this desire to know God. To know God. And we have to commit ourselves in order to know God. It doesn't come just by accident. You have to pay the price to know God. And you have this, as young people, we have this ability. It is much so easy for us to commit ourselves. We have energy, we have everything that we need to really commit ourselves to know God. Another thing, when I think about remembering the Creator, this is the remember and learn what is the purpose of our life. Because if you are created by God, if you are created by God, it means that God has a purpose. And we need to discover the purpose. You know, sometimes we think that, especially we hear different messages, and sometimes it looks like we think that God is for us, that we live here and God is for us. But when you really learn your God, when you getting to know Him, you understand that in the first place, you are for Him. And if you are for Him, He will be for you. But if He is not, if you are not for Him in the first place, very easily you will be disappointed. Because when you think that He is for you, whenever something happens that you don't like, or something happens that you don't expect, or you expect something else and God doesn't hear you, as you think that He doesn't hear you, you get disappointed. But, you know, when you think that God is for you, it's very easy to come to a place of selfishness. Everything has to be around us. And this world today is based on selfishness. Everything for me, everything, me, oh, for me, and so and so. So we have to change it. Remember your Creator. Remember that He created you for His purpose. And we must to describe the purpose of our life. And we must serve God's purpose. And then He says, if you serve my purpose, you have a blessing. You receive the blessing. If you will submit to my purposes, you'll be blessed. Remember, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. What does it mean? All the blessing that we can have, all the benefits of relationship with God, is a byproduct of walking with Him, of our following Him. We don't have to worry about it. This is just natural byproduct of your obedience to God. And this is wonderful. That's why Jesus says, don't worry about anything, because I really care for you. I really care for you. You can trust me. You can trust me. Because I care for you. I care for you more than for those flowers that you see around. I care more for you. So don't worry. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first me. Remember your Creator. Remember your Creator. And you will be okay. You will be okay. So, but the first, number one thing is in this, this learning, remembering your Creator is the question about what place the Word of God has in your life. And another scripture that was very, very important for in my life that I learned by, one of the first scriptures that I learned by heart was the Psalm number one. It says, blessed is one who does not walk in the step with the wicked or stand in the way of that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers, but, listen, but who delights is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in the season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, they prosper. This is the direction. This is the God's instruction. And this is also God's promise to our life. The first thing is, she says, blessed are the men. To this word blessed, we can translate, for me, this is something like being fulfilled. Being fulfilled. Fulfilled is the man who does not walk in the step of the wicked or stands in the way of sinners or sit in the company of mockers. You see what's going on in the world today. We are full of this. And you can, as the Bible says, that the man is blessed who has not, don't sit, or then is on the way of sinners. You know, it means that we may not sin, but we can be passively involved in the sin, standing on the way of sinners, and God doesn't like it. So this scripture very clearly says that what we have to avoid. But I tell you more, if we have to avoid, we have to have something better instead. It's not enough to say, I cannot, I don't want to do this or this or this. We can fight against things and fail. But there's only one way to overcome all those things, to find delight in the Word of God. If you find delight in the fire in the Word of God, you will know, and you will be power. You will have strength to stand against everything that is of the world. And today we have a big problem because the world is coming. The world is trying to influence us from all sides. It's so easy. And I tell you, if we are not rooted in the Word of God, we will be influenced by the worldly thinking and worldly lifestyle. The only way to overcome the world system is to be rooted in the Word of God. To let the Word of God live in you, dwell in you. And this is something that is really, when you taste this word, this becomes so passionate. This has become so delightful. This is something because you see that this word is a living word. This word is something that builds you and helps you to judge whatever you hear around. This is the Word of God is like a foundation. This is like a plumb line for your life. You can judge everything that comes to you, and you can resist everything that is not from God. Only way is to be rooted in the Word of God. This is the only way. And this, the promise is wonderful. Though they are planted, The person is like a tree planted, it really says. Like the tree planted by the river. When you see this picture, tree at the river, what you see? You see healthy tree. And this is, God says, you will be like a healthy tree that has everything that is needed, all needed to live, to bring fruit, and to prosper. This is the promise of God. And when I'm telling those things to you today, I'm telling you not just as a theory, I'm telling you this out of my experience. Out of my experience. And I'm so excited. And as time is passing, is going, I think that I am even more excited about my God. I am more excited about Him and His goodness, His grace, and all His benefits that I can experience. So this is my encouragement today to you. Be rooted in the Word of God. Find delight in God's instructions. See the Word of God as your bread for your inner life, for your spiritual life. Many people seems very poor spiritually because they are not fed enough. They are poor because they are not fed. They are hungry inside. God wants to satisfy you by His Word. And with this, by His Word and with the Holy Spirit that brings revelation and understanding to the Word of God. And well, let me share one more thing about what God in those days, what God is doing, and God wants, what God is wants to do. You know, in Malachi, in the book of Malachi, chapter 4, two last verses of the Old Testament, it says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." And almost the same word is repeated in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 1, when it says, "He will also go before him," it says about John the Baptist, "in spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Listen, I want you to see what God says here, how important is the connection, right connection between generations. He says that if there will not be really connection, unity between generations, we have at the risk of something very, very bad on the earth. He says that when I come, I would not have to strike the earth with a curse. So the relationships between generations is the very key things. And he says that the Elijah spirit will come to bring, to turn hearts of the fathers to the sons and sons to the fathers. And when I think about us as a church of Jesus Christ, we have to be a model for the world. We have to be a model of relationship between generations. We have to be a model of unity between generations. It is not only matter how we work together, it's a matter how our hearts are connected. Because he says, when the Elijah comes, he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons and sons to the fathers. You see the world around us, how bad is the situation, how bad is in those relationships between generations. We have loneliness, we have rejection, we have pain. Fathers neglect their children. Children are rebellious against the parents. And it seems like this is a norm today. And at the end times, the Bible says God wants to restore something. He wants to restore relationships between generations. You know, there is a story I would like to quote to you from the one book, and I will just read it. It is in Ernest Hemingway's story, The Capital of the World. We find the heartbreaking story of a Spanish father named Carlos and his rebellious teenage son, Paco. After years of the difficult relationship, Paco finally left home, leaving a broken relationship behind. Carlos eventually discovered that Paco had gone to Madrid, and he soon followed his son there to find him and reconcile their relationship. After many frustrating days of searching, the desperate father placed an ad in the personal column of the Madrid newspaper. The father's plea read, "Dear Paco, please meet me in the front of the newspaper office at noon. All is forgiven. Love, Father." According to the story, 800 Pacos showed up at noon the next day seeking to meet their father. What this shows us? We pretend that we can manage. Sorry for that. That's okay. We pretend that we can manage both the parents and the children. We pretend that everything is okay, that we can manage this, but there is a pain. Because of separation, because of division, on both sides. Who can change this? Who can change this? I believe that we, as God's people, we have chance to change the situation by repenting, first by our humility, but coming to the place of humility, confessing our sins, confessing all this, all our pride that separates us. You know, at the beginning of every sin, there is a pride always. The pride is the number one sin. And out of pride, there are all other things happening. So the only thing is to humble ourselves and open ourselves. And to say, we have to change something. Young people have to submit to their parents. Parents have to really show love and mercy and care for the children and heart connections. This is what is important, heart connections. You know, we had in Poland, we had this recently, I had a very experience, very good, very meaningful experience. We have in the north of Poland where I'm working, we have a group of young people that is at the age of 20, 25 years. There's a group of people from different groups, different churches. There are some young Catholics, born again, spirit-filled Catholics. There are some evangelicals. And they get together and they regularly meeting to pray together, but only to pray. They realize that God wants to use them as a model for their generation, model of the attitude, model of the attitude that will show the biblical principle. And we had a conference, and we gave these people one session to do. And it was wonderful when we saw this reconciliation between generations. These people came and they confessed the sins of younger generation. They said, we were proud, we were stubborn, we repent today before God and before you. And our generation, as the parents, we stand and say, we are sorry that we failed you. And it was wonderful. And they, these young people, they took us, some of us, the leaders, and they washed our feet. And I believe this is time for change. I believe this is time for reconnecting. This is time to turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons and sons to the fathers. And the church has to hear this, and the church to follow God's instruction, and the church to have to submit to the word of God, because I believe this is prophetic word for our time. For our time, for those last days that we live, it's time to do something about it. It's so important that we can to be united, to be joined together in the hearts, in order that we can go through difficult times successfully. Because we live in the difficult times, and we are going to see more and more difficult times. We have to do this in order to avoid the God judgment. The Bible says so. And we have to do it in order to be prepared for the God's purpose in the last days. To be part, to be involved, to fulfill God's purpose in the last days. This is so important. This unity between generation. So stand in unity and work, and then out of this work together. And I hear this voice. I hear this prophetic voice so often, turning the hearts of the fathers to the sons, and sons to the fathers. We have to make a decision. If we really want to be people prepared for the God's purpose. We don't fulfill God's purpose just by coming to the church meeting and be involved in the different ministries. In order to fulfill God's purpose, we have to be testimony, the witness to this world around us. We have to be people that set a standard for the kingdom standards for this life, to reveal, to bring revelation of God's standards and God's purpose for the creation, for the world. So this is so important. I just want to finish with this scripture. Remember your Creator in the day of your youth. Because in the day of your youth, you decide of your future. You decide of your life, whole life, to the end. And then even beyond. To the end of this life, even beyond. This is so important. And I'm glad that I could share with you this, and may God bless you, and may this word really be placed in your hearts, in our hearts, in all our hearts, that we live with this, and we ask God, Lord, help us, even if we don't know how, even if there is things, you know, help us, and He will come, and He will do, and He will change you, and His purpose will be fulfilled. This is my prayer also for you. Amen. Thank you. Can I ask you to stand? I just want to pray, okay? Lord Jesus, Father. Your presence, Lord, is something that we need and we want and we desire. the presence that will change us. Your presence that will change us. Lord, I pray today for this congregation, for everyone here in this place, that your word will come deep into our heart, and the Holy Spirit will bring revelation, and the Holy Spirit will bring instructions how we can fulfill this word, how we can fulfill your purpose, Lord. I thank you for this church. I thank you for these people here, your people here, that you save from the world, that you may show yourself powerful on their behalf. Lord, I pray that, especially for young people in this congregation, I pray that you bring them into a place when they can live for you and prosper, and they can, the people around them, people in their generation will see something that cannot explain except that you, God, you are working, you are living in them. Lord, I pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.